your will, your way, it will be my joy to say. Your will, your way, it will be my joy to say. Your will, your way, always, yeah.
Come on.
It will be my joy to say.
Good morning, church. How you guys doing? All right. God is good, right? What's the response? All the time,
all the
right?
Time.
God is good. And all the time? All right, we serve an amazing God here at Haven Church. You guys ready to stand up and worship his name today with us? All right. Get my stuff ready.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear?
You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear?
I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is a victory. And whom shall I fear? And whom shall I fear?
I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine.
The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Nothing.
And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hand. I'm holding on to your promise. You are faithful, you are faithful, and nothing formed against me shall stand. You
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, and oh my soul, I worship your holy name.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Lift it up.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul,
worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. And bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul,
worship your holy name.
With me.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my
my soul will sing your praise unending. How many reasons?
10,000 years and then forevermore.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship His holy name.
Sing like.
Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. Worship Your holy name.
Come.
Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. I worship Your holy name. Up Your holy name. I worship Your holy name. Lord, we'll worship Your holy name.
Praise You, Lord, as we're here today. I just ask that as we're going to begin a new series and a new focus, that this may be a defining moment, God, where we really just have those moments where we just, anything we see in our life that is not, that we think is impossible, that You just take care of it, God, that we dare to ask You to do the impossible and have the sun stand still. So throughout this time, God, minister to us as our children go to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry. Be with them, encourage them, put those seeds of faith in their hearts and their minds so they grow into be mighty men and women of God. And for the rest of us here, God, clean up where we failed You, strengthen us where we're weak, and but most importantly, draw us closer to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before you sit down, high five somebody, hug somebody, knuckle punch, whatever. How you doing, baby? I just asked about you. I love you. All right, good morning. How you doing?
Good.
Some excitement here today. That's good. We should be excited when we come into the house of God. All right. Welcome. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. We're glad that you're here. We truly don't believe you're here by mistake. We believe God has brought you here for this moment. And this is an awesome time. I really believe that there are certain moments in the life and ministry of our church that I've seen, I call them shifts, and I really believe God wants to do a shift in a positive direction through Sun Stand Still Bible study. So if you're like, oh, I didn't register, whatever, that's all right. Hang in there after today's message and service. You may say, I really want to be part of that. And so we want to welcome everybody who's here today. We also want to welcome Church Online, and glad that you're joining us. It's really awesome to hear, particularly throughout the summer when people are traveling, to hear that they're checking it out through our app or on the web or some, through a computer or some other means, having an opportunity to check in and stay connected even though they're far away. So we serve an awesome God who's granted us the minds to have awesome technology that we can reach the world for Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. So a couple other things we want to touch on today. If you have already signed up for Sun Stand Still out here, on the side over here on this side, the books are in, and you can go ahead. I know Debbie DiVirgilio and some others are there to go ahead and connect with that to make sure you get the books and study guides and other types of things. We do have extras, so if you are interested and like, oh, I really want to be part of this, you can go ahead and talk to Debbie and make sure that we get you connected. And we can always get more. I'd love, right now, the last total I heard was roughly in the neighborhood of 77 to 80 people are participating in Sun Stand Still. I'm excited, and we should be thrilled about that, about what God's doing here. And so I'd love to see 200, 300 people that are doing it. Doesn't always have to be people from this church. You got people in your neighborhood, drag them in for Sun Stand Still, all right? right? I hear the Chesapeake City contingency. That's awesome. All right. So make sure you pick up the books because we all need God to do the impossible in our lives. Sunday, August 15th. Crazy, we're in August already. But August 15th, if you know a college student or if you are a college student, plan to come that day. What we're going to do, like as we did last year, we're just going to give a prayer over them as they head out into the college year and for those things. So that is going to be Sunday, August 15th. 16th, sorry. That's Sunday. All right. Women of Faith Farewell Tour. There's still 4 tickets available. Marcia Young has those. Those are hard to get. So please go ahead, and if you're interested, please contact Marcia. And also, I want to show a brief, quick video of Stephen Ministry. And we've been talking about Stephen Ministry, but I just want to give you another update about what Stephen Ministry is.
Life can be very hard. Sometimes people suffer. Sometimes people die. There's a lot of uncertainties. Life's not very predictable. You have grief in your life that you just don't know how to get through. You know, it could be hard. You need a friend, just someone to talk to. I know when I've gone through lonely periods in my life, when I'm just kind of by myself with all my worries, fears, and doubts, that's all I think about. It kind of consumes me, eats me alive. But there's been other times where I've had people come alongside me and just let me vent and really just spill out my junk and say, hey, this is what I'm going through. The Stephens Ministry is a group of people who care. Not pastors or professionals, in a sense, like they're counselors or therapists, but they certainly are people who care, no matter what your issue is. If you don't have a clear conscience about things, Stephen Ministry is for you.
So you can see the email that was up there, and also it's in your bulletin if you'd like to connect. If you feel like God is drawing you to maybe become a Stephen minister, there's different ways that they do that with spiritual gifts and other kinds of things. And also I know that the need is so great that there's many people who feel the need that they may want somebody to talk to. And that's why we're doing this as part of availability, because I think as Randy shared the other week, I'm one person. And if the church is only about me, and then we're all in trouble. Okay, so we need others, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as well today. All right, and then our Hope event for children and parents, you can see that where we have a speaker, Lori Fry Ergang, who will be here, a recovery addict in Cecil County. She's going to share, and there'll be some question and answer. Please take a look at that. And also the Parish Foundation. We need help for August 16th. The Parish Foundation. So if you've never done it, or you want to do it, or you've done it before and want to help out with the Parish Foundation, you can see Bonnie Racine's contact information, or you can see Bonnie in the back. She's very happy because her Texas family's here. And so she's very, very happy, and we are too, as they were one of the first people ever, and they were that first service ever in church, so at my house. So that's going to be a cool day to have them here to share some of that, share as part of some of that reminiscing a little bit. All right? So if you're really interested and if God's tugging on your heart, it's a great opportunity. Okay? All right. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer right now, and this is going to be our time of receiving God's tithe and offerings. But we have one prayer request right now, which is from Jenny McGall. From Judy Music for Jenny McGall. She's not feeling well today, and so we want to lift them up in prayers. I'd also ask that you lift up Cecil County Young Life as they're traveling right now to Saranac Village for a week. And it's a camp, but they're also connecting to God in awesome ways. And 2 of my children are on that bus. They got me up at 3 o'clock, 3:30 to take them, not to Saranac, to the drop-off spot. So, and pray for Joe Antonio and the other leaders who are on the bus with some 50-some young people from Cecil County. So that's an awesome thing. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, and we give you just everything that we've got. And a lot of that don't look too pretty all the time, but God, you take it and make something beautiful and awesome out of it. So as we continue in this time in our service, we recognize that there are so many needs. There are people who are hurting, people who are struggling. We've got relationships that are rocky. We have young people that are at a volatile point in their lives. We have older people who are at a volatile point of their lives who feel worthless and useless. Regardless of where we are on the scale, God, we have people who are stressed and hurt and put on game faces. We've got physical ailments, whatever they are. These things seem insurmountable. And we feel like in many ways the sun on our life or a sun in a situation is about ready to set. And we're running out of time. And we're just floating. God, we just pray that you'll just cause the suns to stand still and do the impossible that we're going to ask you to do in our lives, in our communities, and in our world. And so, God, right now, I ask that you do the impossible, that you take the gifts, no matter how large or how small, from the giver. That you take your tithe that you have called us to give, whether it be here, whether it be done automatically or online, whatever it may be, that whatever means it comes in, that it's given to your hands, God, and you take it, and you do the impossible. You multiply it and use it, not for here, not so that we can just say, we paid our bills, we survived another month, but God, that we can reach out into this community and we can see the impossible in our community and larger world. That we can see maybe even in our own lives, ourselves changed by granting a giving heart, a loving attitude, and seeking you in a way, in a direction we never thought we would. So God, in the remainder of this time, we ask for you to be with us, strengthen us, encourage us, and let us be the people in the church that you call us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.
One pair of hands from the mountains. One pair of hands from the sea. One pair of hands made the sun and the moon. Every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands formed the valleys, the oceans, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands.
It's not making you smile, right? That's, it's a smile song, isn't it?
Good morning. I'm reading from Joshua chapter 10, 7 through 16. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekiah and Makeda. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekiah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it, before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp of Gilgal. Now the five kings had fled and hidden in the cave at Makeda.
For a while, this is, and I just believe some things are just in God's perfect timing. Had fun last week. For those of you who were here, checked it out online. It was great to hear how God just really reached out to certain people on that. One of those things was me. I think a lot of there's some more people here today because you know I was throwing out candy last week. So. But we'll figure it out. It's all good. This week was an interesting week because we're getting ready for the Sun Stand Still study. And on many of you who know that last Saturday, I just kind of like tweaked my back a little bit, one of those kind of things, you know. And then on Sunday, it hurt, and I was up here with like a patch, and I went to pick up something. And it was the day I was throwing stuff out, moving stuff, and I was like kind of, you know, squatting and, you know, trying to act like it didn't hurt. Monday, I got up in the morning, I was okay, and about midday I couldn't even move, so it was Jack sit still, or lay still. I couldn't even get out of bed, but fortunately it's changed and it's awesome. And as I was walking out, Jim said, "My back's been killing me too," so we were a good pair. I guess it was people who were playing guitar. I had bad backs last week, so I don't know, but it was really cool. A pretty busy week yesterday, and I had two weddings, and one, we had our first wedding here, and they're here, Mike and Bonnie. There you are right there, right here, Hollis. So they got married here yesterday, and so we're excited about that, excited for Nick and Carissa, who also got married yesterday, not here, but it's just kind of cool things to do. But today we are going to begin to talk about Sun Stand Still, and this is an intro series. And this is a section of scripture that has been there for a long time, just to let you know. It's been there forever since the scripture's been there. And it's one of the greatest passages, but it often gets overlooked throughout the scripture. And we are basing this, our study and our series is going to be based off of a book that's been around for a little while by a guy named Stephen Furtick. I don't know if anybody's heard of Pastor Stephen Furtick, who has probably one of the fastest growing churches in the United States in North Carolina in 5 years. They went from a small group of, I believe, seven or eight, to 11,000 in a worship. So it's an amazing church. They actually just bought a shopping mall, where they, the whole mall where they had part of their church, and are really reaching out and connecting all over the world. And you know, you read anything about anybody, you'll find something negative, but I can tell you he's probably what I consider one of the most passionate spiritual leaders in our country now, and he's in his 30s. So he's still young, real young guy. But it's pretty cool. So and this book, the take, not so much the book, but what it's based on, about daring God to do the impossible in your life, is pretty awesome. So over the next couple weeks, we figured August would be a good time. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because a lot of people say, well, people still be traveling, people will be doing this, they'll be doing that. But as you can see, around 80 people that have signed up for it, people want God to do the impossible in their lives and for the sun to stand still. So that's my prayer throughout this series, that God will change situations and lives. And when I stop and I think over the last several years at Havens Community Church, I have seen what I believe where God has made the sun stand still in certain areas and through miracles in my life. There are times where during the series I will you'll have an outline and I'll go with it. There's other times where I may just go off off script and we'll just keep on going. And so what I want to do, although it was read so awesomely for us and Linda had some awesome tongue twisters to do there today. You whenever you sign up for scripture and you see Old Testament names, you're like, uh-oh. I'm going to reread through that, and I'm going to hit on some points today on why this particular miracle, of all the miracles and all the passages in scriptures, is really important to me and to this church, and I believe into the body of Christ as we move on. And so I hope that you'll fall in love with the idea that you have a God who wants you to live with, and you'll hear this term, audacious faith. Not bodacious, audacious faith. And so we're going to go ahead and right now, and we're going to take a look. So if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn with me to Joshua chapter 10, is where we will begin today. And we will once again be going from verse 7 and making our way through. Okay. So Joshua, and Melinda, if you want to, you can go ahead and go back to the scripture slides. If people want to follow along, that's fine with me. If they want to follow along on the screen or if they want to follow along in their Bibles. And before I get rolling this, last week I kind of saw him sneak in and sneak out. Bob Booger's here. And Bob was in a pretty serious accident several months ago, around May, was it? April, May. And we are so glad that God is here. At first, he didn't look too well, did he? But we have an amazing God who caused the sun to stand still in your life and bring healing and brought him here. So I'm just thrilled that he's here today, and he was last week. And be praying for the family as he's recuperating and God's got him up and moving around. And I know, Gail, that's truly an answer to prayer, isn't it? Yes. All right. All right. So here we go in verse 7. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. None of them will withstand you." And after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them in such a confusion before Israel so that Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them all along the road going up from Beth Horon and cut them down on the way to Ezekah and Makkedah. All right? Now, I probably have pronounced many of those things wrong, but you don't know it either, so we're all good. as they say, don't judge me. I had a parishioner years ago who used to say, had a Sunday school teacher, and some of you have heard me say this, that said, when you're reading a word and you don't know, just say wheelbarrow. And this is a wheelbarrow chapter here, just to let you know. So there's a lot of wheelbarrows that are here. In verse 11, it says, "As they fled before Israel on the road down to Beth Horon and Ezekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down upon them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the sword of the Israelites." Now, isn't this interesting? I find this very interesting. Isn't it interesting you can do all that you can do? Here they are pursuing them. They're fighting. We're going to talk about what this battle is all about. You can do all you do, but God, with one supernatural act, can do more. And quicker, faster than you can over years. You can try to do something. You can struggle through something. You can try to make it happen over 10, 15 years. And in one moment, God can do more if you just trust him to go ahead and do that. And that's what he did right here. In verse 12, it says, on that day, the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel. Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Aijalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, and the nations avenged itself on his enemies, as it's written in the book of Jashar. And let me see. Yeah, okay, let's continue a little bit more. And there has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. And then we learned about the four kings. All right? So this is God's word. So what are we going to do? We're going to pray right now. Sound good? All right, let's pray. Lord God, as we are here today in this moment, and we are talking about Joshua, I know that there are some impossible situations that are existing in our own lives here today. And so, God, we are going to dare to ask you for the impossible over this entire month. August is no longer August. It's audacious. Month for God. And we're going to just have an audacious faith to go ahead and ask you to do the impossible in our lives. And so God, as we stake this time, let us look at what Joshua has for us here, and let us just embrace what you have for us even more so. In your name we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So why is this particular verse important? And if you have your bulletins, you can go ahead and fill in some moments. Here, you can write down what you want to write down. If you don't want to write anything down, that's cool too. But why is this so special? Because number one, it demonstrates the magnitude of a defining moment. Of a defining moment. In order to understand this, and I have some scriptures in here that I'm not going to really, some of them may pop up on the screen, but I'm not going to really read through many of them today. I may touch and go on some of them. But what happened? Joshua, if we go back to Joshua chapter 9, we find out that, well, let me go back a little bit further. We had a guy who led the Israelites out of Egypt. His name was? Moses. His name was Moses. And Moses got a little bit angry at one point with the Israelites. He took a rod, struck a rock, and God didn't like it. So God said, guess what? You're not allowed to go into the promised land, which I really think is pretty harsh with God, because he had several million people just complaining and whining all day, and he had to deal with that. That's bad enough with five kids who do that. So I can't imagine having a couple million who just whine all the time. But God said, hey, but you know, what's really cool is Moses got to go to the real promised land. God took care of him and buried his bones and took him with him. So he was kind of cool. But anyway, that's a whole other story. So before he wouldn't go into the promised land, the one who was allowed to take them to the promised land was a guy named Joshua. Now, what's really cool is if you remember several weeks ago when my father was here preaching, he talked about God, and our God is a God of abundance, and et cetera, et cetera. And he talked about one story when the spies went into the promised land, and there's only two people who came out and said, let's go get them. And one of them was Joshua, the other was Caleb. All the other ones died. The only two people who started the journey that got to go in were the two people who were faithful enough to say, hey, I know people are big, I know it's a challenge, but we serve an awesome God. Let's go get them. So that's what they did. So Joshua is now leading the people in to the promised land, and here's the thing. There are people that are in the land, they're squatters, and they're thinking that it's their land, but God has said no. So he's telling them to go wipe out everybody. But at this point, the Gibeonites had heard about the Israelites. They were great warriors, and they had God on their side. So they came to Joshua, and they said this something very simple. They said, hey, look at us. Our clothes are all worn out. We've journeyed from a far place. We aren't near you. Can you make a treaty with us so that, you know, we won't get hurt? So Joshua and the leaders said, sure, let's go ahead and do that. So they made a treaty with them. But what happened was the Gibeonites were actually right next to them, and they didn't know. But because this is an interesting time. Even though they lied about it, because Joshua made a treaty and a covenant with them, he wasn't going to break his word or his oath against God that he would protect them. And that was the deal. If anybody attacks you, we will defend you. What ends up happening, you have all these other kings that are saying, uh-oh, Gibeon has now made a treaty with Israel, and that's not good. So let's go attack the Gibeonites. So they went to attack the Gibeonites, and now we have this situation where now Joshua is now in a battle. He shouldn't have to fight because he made a treaty that he should have never made. Everybody with me? That's where we are right now. And he made a mistake in doing something, and it's caused some problems. Now, I know I'm in looking out here, we've got some very good people here, but let me just ask, have you ever, ever, ever been in a situation where you got yourself into a mess and you needed God to get you out of it? Anybody? You're just in a mess, and you may have had that moment, oh, God, please, if you just get me, and I promise I'll never, that's usually how it follows. Like, for instance, if you say, God, I did it again. I got myself in debt. I know the principles that you want me to. I got myself in debt, but I promise, God, can you get me out of it? Or if you say, God, I know it's partially my fault that my kids are public enemy number one and two, and I know it's partially my fault, but God, if you'll just clean up my mistake in being a bad parent and just make them, then I will, right? We have these kind of things. We need God to help us get out of these things. Well, Joshua made a mistake by making a treaty with the Gibeonites, people he was told to wipe out, and he should have never have had to fight this battle, and now he has to. What I've learned about God and what this teaches us is about this defining moment is God can take your mistake and turn it into a miracle. God can take something that you should have never have done and never been involved with and use it somehow because he's gracious and he's merciful, he's forgiving, and ultimately he's all-powerful. And he can take that mistake and do something miraculous with it. And that's what he did with Joshua's mistake. We would never have heard the concept of Joshua praying, sun stand still, and God making the sun stand still if it hadn't been for Joshua's mistake in the first place. So that, to me, that's pretty comforting. Has anybody in here made a mistake over the last year? Has anybody made a mistake over the last month? Did anybody make a mistake over the last minute? I did because you heard me reading that verse. But guess what? God can take that and do something miraculous with it and good with it if you trust in him. You see, it can be a defining moment in your life. In the book, and for those of you who are going to read this and put it together, and for me, I'm moving around so much, I bought the audio version as well so I can listen to it, which is read by Stephen Furtick, and he talks about one point in his life. He was 16 years old. He was a new Christian. He had just become a new Christian, and the pastor at his church, it was a small church, but for some reason, they had a lot of kids that were around, and he was 16 years old, and as pastors tend to do, you got an excited, warm body for the Lord, and you say, hey, I got something for you, and he gave him a book. It was a book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by a guy named Jim Cimbala, and if you don't know who that is, has anybody ever heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir? He is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, which when you go has a waiting line for people to get into church. It's pretty awesome. It's a pretty awesome move of God that's been happening there. And he was reading this book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, and he said what began to happen is as he was reading through, he hit page 23 and had what he called a page 23 vision. You're going to hear some terminology, a page 23 vision, because on page 23, this is what leapt out to him as a 16-year-old who was now a new Christian, who was asked to help with some of these youth people that were here, even though he was a youth person himself. And all of a sudden, this thing leapt out on the page to him, and it was simply this quote that's going to be on the screen and also in your bulletin, where in reading this, it said, I despaired at the thought that my life might pass me by without God moving greatly on our behalf. Now internalize that to yourself. Do you actually despair in your life that your life may pass you by without God ever moving greatly on your behalf? That you're not doing something that God is doing a great move, that he's not utilizing you. If you died tomorrow and did not have a great move of God that he's done through your life, would that disparage you? And would you be upset, or would you just be like, well, I guess God didn't want to do that? For Stephen Furtick, it leapt out on the page to him, and it gave him a vision. It gave him a vision to start a church in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is interesting because if you look at church start people, they say that's the worst place to start a church because there's a billion different churches. But God was calling him to do a new thing in his heart and his life because he took to his own heart that if I live my life and I do not, and I don't have God do something awesome in my life and great through me, then I'm going to be disparaged and my life didn't work out the way it should have. When I think back in my life, I've had a couple of those moments as well through a revival where I felt a call to ministry. But more importantly, in thinking about this church, a defining moment for me was when I was a pastor in a denomination, and I went at a conference that I thought was just like one of these kind of conferences to go, and it was in California. I'd never been to California. It was at Rick Warren's church. I thought, hey, that's cool. He wrote Purpose Driven Church, Purpose Driven Life. I like that. And it's about October. No, what was it? It was about spring, and I thought, hey, that'd be kind of cool to go to California. Never been there. Let's do it. So I flew out, went into John Wayne Airport and Santa Ana, stayed in a nice little place that was there, went to the conference, and as I was sitting there, what God began to do is I started to realize that this conference was about starting churches. You see, because I had grown up in the denomination, a church that I was comfortable with, I used to tell people I was the golden child of the conference, because I was young and I was a person who did this first and that first. And so it was working, and I was comfortable in that environment. I was at a fairly large sized church that had, quote, 1,000 members, but had grown since the time I was there in 4 years from 298 in three services to 467 in three services. And God was doing some really cool stuff, and I was like, hey, I'm good. And people were saying, you know, Jack, if you're good, one day you're going to probably be up for a district superintendent. And I said, that's if I'm good. What happens if I'm bad, you know? And so there was all this kind of stuff. And then in the midst of this, God throws me into a conference where Rick Warren's at. I met another person who was there who did a small conference, who's the pastor of the Fellowship of the Woodlands. His name's Kerry Shook. And I got to talk to him. And then we went to this other church one day, and I just didn't like the vibe there and what was going on. And God sent, they had these things, and I said, I'm not going to go. I'm just going to hang around Saddleback Church today. And I went to this conference, and there was a guy named from Ocala, Florida. First name's Rick. I've lost the last name right now. And they had several of them, and guess what they were talking about? He said, hey, guess what? You know, people talk about church planning. I said, oh, here we go again. He said, they talk about church planning. He said, nobody goes to a planting when a farmer says, hey, I'm going to plant. And the whole neighborhood comes out and goes, let's take a look at a plant. And, oh, look at him put them in the ground. Woo-hoo, that's great. He said, we need to launch as a church. When we launch, he said, because I remember growing up in Florida, when they would launch the space shuttle, you would have to take pictures off the wall, and you'd have to remove breakables, because even if you were miles away, it would shake the walls and knock stuff off. And he said, that's what the church needs to do. When we put a church in an area, and when a church is in an area, it needs to shake the walls of society, so that things that aren't supposed to be there start to shake off, and people start to recognize, oh, that's that church doing it again, right? So I came back with this kind of mentality in my head. And I came back with a new passion that God told me, you're going to start a church. I said, but God, you know, and I started talking about this. Even people who were advisors in my life were like, you know, Jack, statistically that 80 to 90% of all new church starts fail within the first year. And you know what that does? It introduces a little bit of fear, you know? And you begin to start to have these things. And somehow I remember I was talking to a superintendent at the time who was now a bishop in that conference that I was in. And she looked across the table at me and said, Jack, what if it fails? What's that do? More fear. But at that moment, it was a defining moment because God said to me, I said, Sandra, if it fails, God has called me to ministry and he'll lead me somewhere else. But I believe if God calls me to this, nothing can cause it to fail. And she looked at me and she said, okay. And we went on for this for another couple months until God called me out. And here we are today. Some of you were some of the people who met on the December in my house, and I showed a video and we just kind of talked about what we would see. Others of you were the first people that came when I fixed your breakfast that day in my home. Some of you first came when we were in the dance center, when Mike and Tina opened that up for us, or maybe at our first Easter service. But you've seen God move and grow and do things, and that came from a page 23 vision that God laid on my heart. So for you, what I want to know, as you're going through life today, And if God can make the sun stand still in a moment for Joshua in a worship service like this where we have prayer and everything, if he can do that for Joshua on a battlefield, I believe in this environment, God can have a defining moment that can shape the rest of your life. And that's number one, a defining moment. Number two, it must be the story of my life, your life, and the story of this church. Haven's story and my story is something that's very interesting. It shows that God can do much more than I ever could. I want you to do something. Okay, everybody do this. Ready? Look at me. Take a good look. Let me suck in first. Here we go, okay. Now look around you. Look at you. Look at others. There is no way God could plant a church in an area where there's lots of churches and do something and meet the needs of our community in the way he has and do some of the miracles that he's done in this church. If it wasn't for God, I can't do it myself. We can't do it ourselves. We can't do it by our own strength. It is only because God has caused the miraculous to happen here. God is moving and has moved in Haven Community Church. I remember one day sitting in a gym. It was a hot gym. Remember those days? It was a cold gym. Remember those days? It was a miserable gym. Remember those days? Okay. In those days, I want you to remember something. I remember when we used to pass the mic? Remember that, Patty? Yeah, all right. Some of you remember that. Okay, so we used to pass the mic around for that, but then we got too many people and too long, and we'd be here for 8 hours. But it's okay. But through that process, there was something that was really cool in that I remember one time somebody stood up and said that somebody was looking for a child and they were hoping to adopt and having all kinds of issues. And somebody had somebody in their family, somebody who I think had some drug addiction issues and stuff. They had a kid. They wanted to put it up for adoption. At that moment, that person went to this person and that person called their brother. Their brother at that time was a self-professed atheist, didn't believe in God. Even though they were trying to say, God is there. He said, no. And part of that issue was because of what they were dealing with in the hope for a child. Do you know that God worked it out that that person adopted that child and now is active in church and gives credit to God? That is a sun standstill moment. That is an amazing moment in the move of God that happens there. We have seen people coming to Christ. Do you realize we had, 29 baptisms? That's more than some churches have in 8 years. We had it one day down at the park. One day. And you know, one of the things that we look at, sometimes when we see these things, we get so calloused by it because it becomes the ordinary. And we say, okay, baptisms. Do you realize in this world where more and more people are going away from God, it seems in many ways, that when we are able to have 29 people stand in front of a park of people and say, I'm dedicating my life to Christ, and has a shirt that says that I'm new in Christ Jesus, when they have those things, that is a miracle and a move of God. We have people who have accepted Christ at the altar of in a gym or here, that people have had their lives changed. We've had healings that have happened. And you know, one of the things I want to share with us too is, you know, sometimes I was thinking about this. I remember when I was a kid, we would always go to my grandmother's for holidays, or she'd be there with us, and she'd always make, somewhere on the table were dumplings. And I'm not talking about them like hard balls like you're chewing on a soft golf ball. You know, I'm talking about like, and I'm not talking about them puffy suckers. Like you're eating the bread. I'm talking about the slippery ones, like the long, you with me? And I love those things. Those things are awesome. But you know, you just kind of took for granted that when my mom's there, you're gonna have chicken and dumplings and squash fritters. Making you hungry now, aren't I? And you know when I miss them the most? When she died. Now, my mom makes them, and she makes them awesome too, but they're different. They're both good, but they're different. You know what I mean? And for all those years, I just kept expecting it. I remember there was a lady in one of the first churches I served. It was a church that when I first went into, it had 11 people. And they all sat in the back of this big church. They're good Methodists, right? Sat in the very, very back of the church. And I think the average age was 400. And no joke, if the organist who had to get home and get her husband dinner before he sat out on the road as a truck driver thought it was getting a little late, she would go over and she'd kick over the old organ and it would go right in the middle. And this one lady who sat, like, I guess midway up, she'd give her a dirty look every week. It was awesome. But I remember this one lady, her name was Catherine. And Catherine Gold, she was the one lady who tried to hold everything together, because she remembers when there was 200-plus people in that church. And Catherine was the card ministry lady to everybody in that church. Not just the 11 people there, but all their extended families. And you just would get that card and you look at it, you put it down and you go. But I remember that when she started to have dementia and she went into a nursing home, guess what? The card stopped. And so when you see the miracles of God in your life, don't take them for granted. It's not happening everywhere. It's not happening in many places. Here's the deal. Joshua is fighting this battle he should not have been fighting, but God helps him out anyway. The sun starts to go down. The enemy starts to get away. And if they get away, guess what's going to happen? They're going to regroup. They're going to bring more. And they're going to be this irritating thing that continues throughout his entire conquest of the promised land. And the victory will only be partial. And I want to say the same thing to you. The same thing happens for you. Some of us here are barely getting by day by day. We're on a spiritual survival mode, just going through the motions, hoping for heaven when we die, but living in hell while we're alive and here on earth. And I got to tell you, that's not what God intended. Some of us are struggling with depression beyond means, battling addiction. God's plan is not to have you sort of win or to have a last minute, whew, I made it. God wants us to have decisive victories in our lives. In your life, God wants a decisive victory in your situation. You see, Joshua is fighting. They're going. Joshua was a good warrior, but he reached a point where his skills came to an end because the sun was setting. He knew if they got away, it was going to be a problem forever. And it's not even his battle that he's fighting, but he has to deal with it because of the connections he's made. And so he throws up a Hail Mary. We're coming up on football season, right? Throws up a Hail Mary in the air. It says, do something, God. It's kind of like DVR. How many have DVR? You know what that is? It's like you don't have to have a videotape or a DVD. You just push a button and everything stops. You remember the first thing? You remember like how great it was when you're watching live television and somebody calls and you need something, you can go, pause. Or if you miss something, you hit that little button and it goes 15 seconds back. It's like that movie Click. You feel like you're God. Ooh. You wish you could use it on your family, you know, or your friends or your work. And you have this power in DVR. This is the first area of DVR Joshua has. Joshua comes to this point. And now, you know, I know there's skeptics and people here say, no, wait a second. And there's been a lot of debates. You can find this. Obviously, the sun does not go around the earth. The earth goes around the sun. So scientifically, blah, blah, blah. Let me just say something. God made it. He can do whatever he wants to with it. If he stopped the earth and just said, and had it like a Harlem Globetrotter just spinning around on his finger, and the sun stopped in the air, whatever, it stopped so that Joshua could pursue him. I don't know how it figures out. Guess what? I'm not God. And everybody says amen, right? So that's number two. Number three, it's symbolic of the impossible things we need God to do in our lives. The impossible things that are happening. What are the impossible things that you are believing God for? Is it a relationship to restore? Is it lost time because you wasted and squandered? Is it that your career goals are not as they should have been? This is simply where the audacious faith kicks in, and we're going to talk more about that next week. Number four, it reminds me that what seems impossible to me is not even remotely difficult for God. There's no such thing as impossible for God. He created the sun. He can tell it where to go. He creates the ocean. He can stop the storms and still them on behalf of his children. My goal and the goal in our next few weeks and years of our lives is to look at the impossible situations that we have in our life. For you, it may be your children. It may be your business. It may be your bank account. It may be an illness in your body. It may be a calling from God. It may be a prayer or sin you've never talked about. that's ruining your life that may have been around for family generations, I believe that through the series we can pray and God can make the sun stand still. Number five, it presents us with a whole new way to pray. We are going to experience sun stand still prayers, our whole new way to pray. You know, I believe that the church and Christians need a new way to pray. And I'll tell you why. Because I believe if you're like me in my life, I've said some dumb prayers before. And I'll share with you what I believe are some of the dumbest ones. That when I wake up in the morning, I say, God, just be with me. That's nice, and that's a good place to start. But ultimately, I don't think God's sitting there saying, oh, thank you, Jack, now I can be with you. Oh, I've been waiting for that every day. Oh, okay, let's go. I don't think that's God's. Now, I think the good intention behind it is, God, let me be aware of your presence with me today. Let me see you in life. But I don't think he needs us to give him an invitation. Over the years, I've seen one prayer that particularly that someone called a defeatist prayer, and I heard this several years ago. But I remember this is always in church. Like, you will pray, you will meet, and you know, you see this pray for people, and we'll pray and we'll say, Lord God, bring your healing to this person, or Lord God, just help with this situation. And then we give him a defeatist prayer. If it's thy will. If it's thy will, we throw in that like clause. It's kind of, you know, it's like more for us than it is for God. You know, hey God, I want you to really open up and give me spiritual, you know, blessing and strength and health to my body. If it's your will. If it's thy will. The heart behind it is, I want to be in sync with what you want. I understand that. But as we talk about it, it seems like kind of a defeatist mentality. Do we use that all the time? Do we say like, honey, let's go out to eat if it's thy will? Or, honey, let's go ahead and we'll go ahead and do the fix some mulch around the flower beds if it's thy will. Kids, I would like you to clean your room if it's thy will. It ain't ever getting done. And so what I believe is that we need to stop saying if it's thy will, because guess what? If it's not God's will, and nothing gonna make him do it. And if it is God's will, there's no power in hell that can stop him from doing it. And when we, in the body of Christ, quit talking that way and start talking as Joshua did, we have a whole new story and a whole new way to pray. In his moment, he said, son, stand still. He didn't say, if you can do that, God. He said, son, stand still. And it stopped. He trusted God that much. Number six, our last one here. It teaches us that asking and acting go hand in hand. Asking and acting go hand in hand. God stopped the sun, but Joshua had to continue the battle. God threw hailstones, but the Israelites had to draw their swords. Far too often, we separate our action from God's. We pray like this. Here's another one. Well, all I can do is pray. I guess all I can do is pray. I guess there's nothing else to do, so I might as well pray. We've got that mixed up. Prayer is not the last resort. It is a nuclear weapon. It is a thing that we annihilate the enemy with. And so if prayer is down the line, a chain of what we do, then guess what? You better expect a lot of sun setting in your life. We need to go ahead and have that sun stand still early on through the prayer. Joshua did not pray for 3 years. He did not pray for 3 weeks in pursuing them, or 3 days pursuing them. He prayed 13 words that said, oh, son, blah, 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 stand still. The next couple weeks, we are really going to dig in and check out specific ways that you can see God bring sun stand still prayers, and that you can bring sun stand still prayers and have God come into your life and do amazing things. Even when the sun sets, I want to share this with you. Because even when the sun sets and we pray, God can turn a miracle into the sun setting and do a miracle in your life. I've heard stories of people who've prayed for people who had dementia and other kinds of things and seen them waste away. But yet they saw the miracle was that the fact that the covenant vows that they said at the wedding to love them through better for worse, sick and health, they could actually love their wife and love their husband as Christ loved the church. That's a miracle in this world today. That's something that God can do. If you're going to pray and ask God for the sun still, I want to tell you something. Everybody, look, if you're going to pray and ask God for the sun to stand still, be ready to march all night. Because let me tell you, if you look at the scripture here, the scripture says he took all the fighting men with him, and guess what? They marched all night. Because why? The sun was standing still. They had light. They kept on going. Joshua took the best fighting men and marched all night. A lot of times we expect God to be like those old cartoons where the storks are flying over, dropping the babies. And we say, God, boom, boom, thank you, God. Sun stand still prayers, or if we pray a sun stand still prayer for poor health, and yet for our health, and we say, God, you know, help my health, and yet we still eat like crap, something's wrong. We got to put the action into it as well. If we pray for a sun stand still to restore a relationship, then we might just have to be nicer. If we pray sun stand still for my husband or wife to come to the Lord, then we need to stop putting them down or stop talking to them like a dog. You see, it's God in action. You have to have the audacity to ask, but the persistence to pursue. The audacity to ask, but the persistence to pursue. Students, any students? Yeah, you're getting back to school here soon. Students, don't just do a sun stand still prayer at a test. Do it while you're doing the homework, right? Because the homework helps you for the test. And God's going to do an even better miracle if you do something before that. As we wind down today is just an intro. And I tell you, you don't want to miss 1 week of the series. Because we serve a God who is a God of the impossible. So this is a question I want to end with for you today. What is the impossible thing that you need to see God do in your life? That for some of you, the sun is sinking a little bit lower. The expectations are that you think God is not going to do anything miraculous in your life because you've not seen anything miraculous and you've been fighting this battle and the sun's starting to set. When the situation's helpless, believe and trust God for the impossible. The reason for this whole church-wide study is this: that each person will begin to see the outpouring of God's Spirit as the norm rather than the exception. I don't believe that the Bible is just full of stuff that was miraculous things that were meant for Joshua, that were meant for Moses, that were meant for Peter, James, and John. I believe they were made for Haven Church and the world that we are in today. I think more than ever, our world needs a sun stand still moment from God. So what do I do? If you really, really, really want to get the magnitude of this, join a sun stand still small group. We've got several of them. In verse 7, if you look, Joshua went with by himself. No, Joshua went with all his fighting men. In verse 15, he returned with all of Israel. Sun stand still prayers begin with one's small bit of faith or large bit of faith, but are sustained by the prayers of many. If you get in here Sunday, I guarantee you, you will get a lift. Maybe through Monday. Maybe through Tuesday. If it's a really good week, maybe Wednesday. But I guarantee you, you're going to be attacked. You're going to be in a battle. And you're going to have a moment where you're going to need the sun to stand still. And you're going to need people to battle with you. And guess what? Even Jesus, the Son of God, had 12 men that he could depend on. Don't say, for those of you who've come into this church and said, I can't get connected. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to be involved in Haven. Here's your opportunity. Connect to a group in August and let God do something awesome in your life. Are you ready for God to do the impossible in your life? Are you going to dare him to do the impossible in your life? Are you going to say, God, here's the situation. I'm going to do the impossible. I'm going to ask that you stand as we pray today. God, as we begin this intro today to Sun Stand Still, I know that I know that I know that you are going to do the miraculous. In spite of me, in spite of all of us, in spite of this church, God, I just know that you want to do something greater than what we're capable of. I want to thank you for the Sun Stand Still moments in our church life, and I also want to ask for forgiveness where we just kind of looked at them as the ordinary. And so, God, blow our minds. make the miraculous happen in people's relationships, in their jobs, in their families, in our community, in ourselves. There's a lot of us that are just holding on as the sun is setting. But what we really need is for you to make that sun stand still and to surround us with others. For those who are maybe for the first time contemplating right now at this moment, should I join a group? I'm not good with the group thing because then you got to share and they may know a little bit more about me and I can put on this face and nobody knows anything and it's safe. That God, you just let them know that we were made for fellowship together and that there's a battle and we're fighting it together. Just have them come alongside. God, give them that sun stand still moment. Have them help join a group. Let us know, God, that same Holy Spirit that caused the sun to stand still with Joshua is that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is the same Spirit that filled the hearts of your believers and continues to move through this church and the ministries in the world today. Reach into our lives and stir our spirits, God, that we may believe and trust in you again. For the impossible, not just for the little things, but for the impossible. Not the things that we go to work and we say, oh, isn't it great that what God's provided? And then really in the back of our minds, we say, yeah, but I'm doing all the work here, God. No, God, let us just put our action and your miracles together. And let's do it. See a mighty move of God that this area has not seen in a long, long time or maybe ever. We're trusting you to do the impossible. As the sun stands still, as Joshua said, sun, stand still over Gibeon. Today, God, I'm going to say, sun, stand still over Haven. And you, moon, over this entire area. And then we are going to see, whether in weeks, days, months, or years, we're going to be able to say, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped. And God, you were glorified in it. So at this moment, as our Stephen ministers come forward, to be available to pray with people. God, let your Spirit move in our hearts. And if there's anything that's in the way of keeping us from really embracing the sun stand still moment, move right now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
My prayer in the battle when triumph is still. weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. I will bring praise, I will bring praise, no weapon formed against me shall remain.
A book years ago written by a guy named Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. It's divided in every day of the year, and you basically read through continually. Anybody ever heard of Oswald Chambers? Awesome guy. For August 2nd, which is today, I just opened it up because it was in my closet, and I hadn't looked at it in a while, and God just kind of told me to go over there, and I picked it up, and I looked, and the title is The Teaching of Adversity. And it says, and the verse it's using is from John 16:33. And I thought it was perfect for a sudden standstill start. It says, in the world you will have tribulation or trouble. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. And one of the things that we recognize is when God says, and the scripture says, we are made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, it means that no matter what our situation is, no matter how difficult it is, whether it's health, whether it's whatever, relationship, you name it, whatever situation you can name right now, it's not any greater than God intervening and doing the impossible for us that He seems very interesting, like just stopping the sun so Joshua could pursue and win the battle. God has a battle He wants you to win today. So I want to ask you again, what is your Page 23 vision? Where is it in your life that God is calling you to live without despair so He can use you in a mighty, mighty way? You know, in the scripture in Proverbs, it tells us, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, or the King James says, the people perish. I'm tired of seeing people perish without a vision. The vision is the important thing, and God has given you each a vision in order to bring His kingdom to fruition. He gave Joshua a vision, who was a mighty warrior, who had seen the things of God. He was the one who stood around the tent of meeting when Moses left with the residue and said, I just need some of it. And he understood all that. But at the moment when he couldn't do anything and lean on his expertise, he just said, son, stand still. And it said, nothing has happened where God has listened to a human like that. But then when you go up further, his son was on the cross. And everybody thought it was over. And guess what? He made the sun stand still, made the earth shake. And guess what? 3 days later, it stood still, and did the impossible happen? He rose again. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. So if you're interested, if you've already signed up and you haven't got your book, please go out here and get it. If you're interested and you want to connect, we have groups. This isn't for me to say, look how many people we got in our groups. I share it with you because I think it's awesome that in August, we have nearly 80 people that are willing to connect to God. And I say, do the impossible. But I'm telling you, if you want God to do the impossible in your life, you got to march. You got to march all night. Amen? Have an awesome week in the Lord. Next week, here is our theme, Audacious Faith in Jehovah Jireh. He is God, our provider. Have an awesome week in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope that you will see God provide and sun stand still. Amen. Say hi to somebody.
Hi. Everywhere for something more. Sometimes you feel like you're